Hey guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 23. It's Sunday, the 10th of January, 2021. And now we're broadcasting here from Portland, Oregon, and Corte Madera, California. How's your weekend been, Deborah?
My weekend has been just fine.
Yeah. Anything exciting? What'd you do yesterday?
My big excitement every day is taking my dog out for a nice walk. I did that with Pia yesterday. Shout out to Pia. And, just talked about the state of the world and state of my family and good and bad and indifferent and
got it.
How about you?
I had a great day yesterday. What did I do? Just did a bunch of stuff around the house, and a bunch of people were contacting me, people that I know from the past who I haven't talked to in a long time. And it's pretty cool. Like I said, it might start happening with you, but I used to go to AA a lot, and I'm still sober, but I don't go to AA anymore. But it was good when I did. I wasn't super secretive about it. I was kind of open about it, not in an annoying way, but just in a way that people knew. And if anybody ever wanted to like have questions or get help, they knew they could come talk to me about it. And that's kind of what's happening with me doing the podcast right now. So people are like reaching out to me and asking questions and talking about stuff, and it's awesome. So yesterday we got another email from Anthony, who had given us a donation before and just said that he was really appreciative of the shout out on the show. And I talked a bunch more with my friend Casey, whose band might write us a song, and he might come on the show sometime in the future to do some book review stuff. We all three of us might have to read like the same book and come on and talk about it. And we got a donation from Tony from Good Morning Jonestown. He gave us a little donation.
Thank you, Tony.
And then my old friend Leela from Richmond, California, she sent me a DM on Instagram asking if she said she heard that in some of the stimulus bills, the bill that just passed with all the fake money that got pumped into the economy, that there was actually some stuff in there about aliens. And it wouldn't surprise me. So I talked to her about that, my opinions on all this declassified alien stuff that the government's coming out with, and how I think it's a total psyop to get us ready for some impending disaster that they can profit from. I don't think if there's any like truth to like aliens being a good thing or anything like that, that the government would let us know. So we talked back and forth and talked about some books, and she's just read some cool looking books, and I'm going to check them out. This one, I forget what it's called, but it's about like Jesus and how he was married and like all this other different stuff. And it gets into like his bloodline and what happened after that. So I'm going to read that book. And then Jeff from Oakland got a hold of me, and he wants to know about Bitcoin. So hopefully I can help him on that with my limited knowledge. If anybody wants to like figure out just like how to get started, I can help you with that. I can't get into like the super intricate nuances of like trading and things like that, but I can help you get a wallet. I can help you make your first purchases. That's something you might want to do, Deborah.
Maybe so. It's really nice of you to make that offer to our listeners. It's very nice.
Yeah. And then another old friend from Oakland named Demo, he contacted me, he texted me and said that he has a friend who is really liking the show, but he only has a flip phone. So he's only been able to watch on YouTube, and he was wondering if there's any way that he could get it any other way, since we don't have all our episodes up on YouTube. So I don't know if there is. Maybe you can get like iTunes or Spotify or whatever on your computer. But I think after the David Weiss episode, we had some really good numbers on YouTube. So I'm going to start slowly. I have all our Zoom meetings saved. So I'm going to start slowly uploading them onto YouTube. And hopefully that, and I'm going to get a BitChute channel too, because YouTube is not going to have us on forever. And another girl from Instagram texted me or DM'd me, and she was talking about the Parler band. Have you heard about that?
The Parler band.
Band.
That's another
it's platform. it's like the free speech Twitter. And so like everybody that got kicked off at Twitter was going to Parler, and then it got demonized, and they started saying it's like a white power site. It's not, it's just a site that doesn't censor people. And just in the past few days, Apple and Google, who does Android, and Amazon, who I guess has a bunch of like server storage space for both those companies, said that they're gonna rid the internet of that app, so you're not going to be able to have that app. So it'll probably just, I think it'll have to go to like being like a website, not an app on either of those phones. But it seems pretty crazy that three big giant tech companies can just collude together to tell you what you're allowed to read and what you're not allowed to read, you know? So it probably has to deal with, that's where Donald Trump would have gone. Well, that's part of it, but they just don't want you being able to speak freely. And you know what? Instead of like just having people text in questions like we were going to do or email us, I was thinking we could have one day, maybe next month, one of our shows, anyone that's interested can like reach out to us, and we'll have a group Zoom. And make that the episode. I kind of just ripped it off from Ripple Effect. They just did that.
He did it for his
Patreon listeners. I'm going to do it for free, and then if a bunch of people like it, maybe in the future we'll be like, hey, if you want to kick us, you know, $3, we'll send you the link to you know, the monthly group Zoom, and everybody can get together and talk and tell us where they're from and their thoughts and things like that.
I like that idea.
So I put it on the calendar for like the end of next, like middle of February. So if you guys are interested, let us know about that. Oh, we got a new review on iTunes. We've got a whole bunch. We've got 33 reviews. So let me read this one to you. It's a good one. Right here we go. All right. See y'all. This is from a listener named No Arminian. And he said, do they want to be there? I'm 4 episodes in, and it sounds like both people just rolled out of bed and are under duress to make each episode. No energy, hard to listen to. So that was a good one.
Fair enough.
If you hated a show and it was hard to listen to, would you be on your 4th episode of it?
Personally, I wouldn't, but you know,
after about 10 minutes. I'm glad that he's still listening, but that's, we have 32 ratings, 31 or 5-star, and 1 is 3-star.
Okay.
I don't know who this Armenian guy is. I know one Armenian guy, and that's Sam Tripoli. So maybe it's him. Maybe he's threatened by the success of our show. He's kind of big leaguing me right now. He hasn't returned a couple of my emails. And so I, you know, could be him. We'll see. this week I had, Truthzilla, they're on this this streaming platform. I'm going to not name it, but they, it's like this, it's kind of like Netflix, but for podcasts. So you pay like $10 a month and you get access to everybody on it. And they're like, Scott was super nice and asked us if we wanted to be on it. So he got me a meeting with like the president of the company. And I had a, I think on Thursday night, I had a Zoom meeting with him. And it took like 2.5 minutes. And he was just like, no.
No.
He's like, we're trying to monetize and make money, and you guys aren't profitable. So it's like, all right. So it kind of bummed me out at a second for a second. And then I was just like, oh man. That gave me a bunch of motivation to just fucking stuff it up that guy's ass. And he was kind of a dick too. So it's like, okay, a little bit, one more thing, and then we got to buzz our guy in.
Ready.
So in the past, I thought we were just available on Apple and Spotify, but we are also available on Google Podcasts and a site called Deezer. And we've submitted our show to Amazon and Audible, so we should be available on those coming up soon. So yeah, if you want to listen on Google Podcasts or Deezer, we're on there right now, Apple and Spotify as well. So we got to get on as many places as we can, because people are going to start getting purged. I mean, Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon probably aren't the best places to be right now, even though that's most of our choices. So with that, let's pause. Get at us on email and send us messages, guys. We really want to hear from you. It really makes us happy. And we'll have more info on that group Zooms coming up. Hold on. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. We're here with our guest, The Odd Man Out. He is the host of his own podcast called The Odd. It's confusing. What's the name of your podcast?
Yeah, man, it's long, because I wanted to call it The Oddcast, but I realized there are a bunch of oddcasts. There are like five. So yeah. It's called The Oddcast featuring FT, The Odd Man Out. Yeah. The Oddcast featuring The Odd Man Out. Yeah.
And you're pretty much available on all the different spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, I've been enjoying your show. You're a deep researcher. Kind of different than I am. I know a little bit about a lot of stuff, but I don't do super deep dives. But we have you on today, and we want to talk about Freemasons. Deborah right. is pretty uneducated on it. I can kind of keep up, but don't know much. So yeah. we're gonna title this episode Freemasons for Dummies.
Cool. Cool.
So yeah, where should we start out?
Well, I would just say they say that they are the largest fraternity in the world. Some say they are a secret society, but actually they're not secret. I mean, you guys, you know, have passed by many Freemason lodges driving down the road. They are a society of secrets instead of a secret society. And there is debate on whether they originated in the days of the ancient Egyptians or in medieval England, in the guilds where they built, you know, castles and churches and cathedrals, different things like that. I think almost a third of our presidents have been Freemasons. So that's pretty significant.
Is Joe Biden a Mason?
I've never seen anything to allude to the fact that he would be a Mason. Nor Trump. You know, people, it's one of the most, you know, people make up a lot of things about the Masons, so it's really tough to really find out what's true. And the way I go about it is I research their own books, the Masonic writers, because I think that's the best way to do it. I mean, because people are going to, you know, it's been around for so long and it's so mysterious, and anything mysterious, people are, you know, going to make up things about it. So I go right to the sources.
Yeah. I lived in San Francisco for a while, and I saw Joe Rogan perform at the Masonic Temple there. And oh, wow. I remember like going, it's an amazing building, you know?
Yeah.
And I wish I would have, I wasn't really quite woke up a whole bunch then. I was still actually into Joe Rogan at that time. So,
yeah.
But there's like all this like Egyptian paintings and stuff on the wall, like the kind of like hieroglyph style. I wish I would have had the time to like, or the interest to like stop and actually look at what was going on. So,
oh, very interesting. I wonder if that's, I know Jimmy Kimmel, his show is in a Masonic temple. And I don't know if that's in San Francisco or LA.
I think it's in LA.
In LA. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting. I just read the other day, it's kind of like one of those unfolding mysteries that it just a gift that keeps on giving. You probably could spend a lifetime or two investigating it. And I just continue to find more and more things that I didn't know. And of course, one thing I've learned is it's kind of like there's no real set system. They basically over time have added so many different connections to Freemasonry, even the Masons themselves, that there's no end to it. So there's a pretty big rift between Masons who believe that, and it does go back to the Egyptians. Then there is another section of them that believe, no, it goes back to the Hebrew Israelites. And there's a lot of symbology from the Bible, early the Old Testament and Israel and different things like that. So you really, there's a pantheon of gods, the Greek gods, the Greco-Roman gods. The Greco-Romans kind of adopted all the other gods and kind of put them in their pantheon and renamed some of them. And they were just kind of like, they took all these different societies and kind of adopted their gods too and added to them. So that was all kind of configured into the Freemasonry as well. So it's kind of like Albert Pike is in America. He's considered probably the number one writer and philosopher of Freemasonry. He lived in the 1800s. He actually fought in the Civil War. He's the only other person I know of that didn't serve in the government who has his statue downtown Washington, D.C. It's a very large statue right down from the White House. My wife and I dragged her in the rain to find the statue. She was not happy with me. She's like, "What the hell are we doing?"
Yeah.
And when she got to the statue, it's so big and magnificent. She's like, "Holy shit, this guy is actually important. Something's going on here." So, he even wrote in there that by the late 1800s or mid 1800s, excuse me, there had been so many different beliefs about Freemasonry brought into these different levels. Originally, there was only three levels of Freemasonry, 3 degrees, 1, 2, and 3. And when you reach that third, you become a master Mason. And so when you guys pass by these small lodges on the side of the road, those are called blue lodges, and they still believe in only the 3 degrees. And you can get through the 3 degrees in a matter of months and become a master Mason. But in the mid-1800s, there were dozens of degrees all over the country, in France, England, all these different places. And Albert Pike, who was from America, he was a really interesting guy because he was actually from the North. I want to say Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, moved to the South to join the Civil War.
He fought on the side of the Confederacy.
Exactly. And he actually led a group of Indians, American Indians who fought in the Civil War for the Confederates. It's very interesting.
Wow.
He was a huge advocate of Indians, their rights, American Indians' rights and stuff like that. So he's a very controversial guy. He had good things, he had bad things, but there's really no doubt once you read his books that he was very intelligent and he was a hell of a philosopher. And he said he was the one that was kind of credited with taking all these different, just dozens and dozens of different degrees of Freemasonry from all around the world and combining them to 33 degrees, which became the Scottish Rite. And the Scottish Rite Freemasonry is different from the Blue Lodge. So they go to the 33 different degrees. And they have the most prestigious temple. They call their place that they get together and do their initiations and their rituals. They call them temples. And they have the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., right down from the White House. And Albert Pike was so important that after they buried him, they decided, no, we need to dig him up and put his remains inside the House of the Temple in downtown Washington, D.C. So his remains are inside the House of the Temple. So you know he's a big deal, even though some Masons try to say, oh, no, don't pay attention to the things he said. He wasn't that big of a deal. Obviously, he was.
Yeah, so, we had Billy Ray Valentine on the show. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, yeah.
And he told us he went on a tour of that with his son when he went to Washington, D.C. And he said it was pretty impressive. He said he has, like, pictures of his son sitting in, like, the big throne or whatever. And he said, like, the tour guide was, like, a young guy who was a 32nd degree Mason, but was, like, really impressed with his knowledge of what he did. And he said, are you a Mason? He said, no, I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm sure they get a fair amount of that in there, but
yeah.
So is there between the Blue Lodges and then the temples, is that is there any sort of rift or anything like that?
Well, there's also, I left out, there's the York Rite, and they're a little bit different from the Scottish Rite. They don't go to the 33 degrees. And I probably should preface that the 33rd degree has to be, you have to be chosen. You can't earn it. You can't go through initiations and earn it. It's one of those that you have to be exceptional, and they actually choose you to be a 33rd degree Mason.
So out of everybody, go ahead, Deborah.
I was just going to ask, are there many of many people that reach that 33rd degree?
No, there's not. It's a pretty small amount of people that is it compared to the other degrees. It's pretty small.
So you can earn your way into the 32nd degree. You can do whatever, like all the tasks that, like, the Cub Scouts. But
exactly. Yeah.
But what percentage is it known or speculated on what percentage of the amount of people that make it to 32nd degree are accepted to 33rd?
I've never seen a percentage on it. I just know that it is a small, it's pretty small compared to the 32nd degree and the third degree in the Blue Lodge. There are honorary members that have been chosen to be 33rd degree, which it's kind of hard to find out different things about that. Supposedly Ron Howard, the director actor, has been chosen to be.
What about Clint?
Clint Eastwood?
Clint Howard.
Clint,
oh, his brother Clint, yeah, gets overlooked.
Yeah, he was probably a Boy Scout, an honorary Boy Scout.
Yeah. <or something>.
So what kind of tasks do you have to complete? What would a lower level task look like?
Well, there's these things that you have to memorize a lot of things, just these different sayings that they've come up with that they kind of, it'll kind of resemble some of their lore, because they have this whole lore about the Freemasons and how they began. Supposedly there was, it's kind of directed around a guy named Hiram Abiff, and he was a master builder, supposedly. He was the master builder for King Solomon's temple. And this goes for all the different Freemason, the Blue Lodge, York Rite, and Scottish Rite. You have Hiram Abiff, who was the master builder, and he had this information. And so the way it goes is you have the first and second degrees, and those guys represent people who are learning how to build and be a real Mason.
Like apprenticeship.
Apprenticeship, exactly. That's where apprenticeship came from, actually. It was Freemasonry. And the journeyman came from Freemasonry as well.
Wow.
These guys didn't want to wait. There were three guys, and they didn't want to wait to get their mastership. They wanted to find out the last part of the third degree and the secret to it. So they confronted Hiram, and he wouldn't give up the secret. He said, no, you've got to go through the rest of the degree. So what ended up happening in their lore, this is all fake. They killed him and buried his body. And so it kind of, it's this kind of resurrection type of thing that they kind of copied off of, you know, Christ's resurrection. Or some say Osiris, although Osiris, it's a lot different, but he was brought back. And so you become that master builder. You basically become Hiram when you become, the master mason. So they kind of wrap it around that whole lore. And you have all these different initiations where you have to memorize these words, these lines and stuff like that. And then you act it out. You put on this kind of ancient garb. And it kind of looks really goofy, but you've probably seen some of that stuff on the internet. And, you know, you pretend to be Hiram and you pretend to be killed and then brought back. And that's, you know, but there's a lot of different initiations inside the, you know, once you become, as you go through the different levels. And of course, the York Rite and the Scottish Rite are more secretive than the Blue Lodge. I have a friend who's in the Blue Lodge, a neighbor who just lives right like five houses down. He's told me a little bit. They're pretty hush hush about it. I worked for a master mason when I was from 17 to 19 years old. I worked for him and he told me a few things, and that kind of was what got me started in being, you know, interested in it. But he was very secretive. I remember one time he saw a fellow mason and he basically jumped out of his van and ran over and talked to him, you know, and it was really strange. I could tell he was like, he did not want me to hear anything, because I started to get out of the van. He said, no, just wait there. And I asked him when he got back in, I was like, what's up? Because I was friends with the guy too, you know. He's like, that's one of my fellow masons, and we just can't really allow anyone else to hear what we're talking about when we're discussing the lodge and things that happen in the lodge. So it's very secretive.
They do a little secret handshake or the back pat or anything like that?
No, I didn't see them do that. I have seen that on, you know, on the internet and stuff, but they didn't shake hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to be a union iron worker, and I was really one of my guys. That's like my best friend now. He's an iron worker as well. And he's in a Masonic lodge. I think probably a Blue Lodge. But he got into it from, like, there was a bunch of guys in the iron workers that that were Masons, and the way he explained it didn't sound like very much fun. He said to, like, advance, he showed me his, like, pages and pages and pages that they had to memorize. It was just like you had to memorize a book.
Yeah.
And then you were at a higher level, and it didn't seem like maybe you couldn't tell me, but I don't think he's active really anymore, but they had like a motorcycle club and stuff like that. It was just kind of like a mess around club, I think, for guys at that level, you know?
Yeah. And they do things for the local areas. They raise money and do things like that. And they do some good for sure. And those Blue Lodges, I think, are pretty harmless. I did read another author that's really considered to be a prestigious guy and very well respected, C.W. Leadbeater. And he said that even the low level Masons, even though they don't know it, are working towards a goal. And that goal is the Brotherhood of Man, which sounds fantastic. You know, we hear a lot about the Brotherhood of Man and us all becoming one and all that kind of stuff. But then that leads into, like Alice Bailey, who was a part of she was the head of the Theosophical Society, and they were the ones that started Lucius Trust, which actually originally was Lucifer Publishing. And that Lucius Trust is now and has been the curator in the group that takes care of the library at the United Nations. And you can look that up. I've got a book here. I've got several of her books. And her husband was a Freemason, and he wrote books too. Got some of his books. And the last book I got had a bookmark in it from Lucius Trust, and it had the UN, United Nations, address on the back of it. And they are a part, you know, Theosophical Society is basically where the New Age came from. And to make a long story short, you know, they believe that Lucifer is light, and you know, that whole deal about
the whole the inversion, and that is that what it is, like that the snake was actually the good one, and that is it going to that?
Basically, yeah. And she also said Alice Bailey also said that Freemasons played a big role, whether they knew it or not, in this coming world government. She called it the New World Order. Whether they know it or not, they're playing a big part in getting people ready to accept the New World Order. So I think that's something people ought to think about too. And you know, it's really interesting because there's so many different levels and different things that they believe. And you can just basically go anywhere with it. Even Albert Pike said in he's got a famous book, the most famous Freemason book is called Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. And he said in there that before he started to put together the degrees for the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, there are several thousand degrees, and anything, people had made up so many different, different allegories that supposedly related to Freemasonry that you could make anything seem like Freemasonry. And that's why he decided to cut it down to 33 degrees.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And, it's like I was looking at some of the stats today. You got eight, and this is from Freemason websites. You got 18 vice presidents have been Freemasons, 14 presidents, 35 Supreme Court justices, 17 United States senators. And this is an older website. I don't think it had been updated in a few years. 32 United States military leaders, 9 to 13 of the signers of the Constitution. That's a little bit debated. 8 signers of the Declaration of Independence. So, you know, they've obviously were very influential in the country's founding too, which, you know, doesn't get a whole lot of attention.
Well, what about Washington, D.C. being laid out in a pentagram or the compass and the square or whatever it is?
Yeah, it's definitely... it's definitely Freemasonic in its construction. There's no question. There's been several really good books about that. I've got one. I think it's upstairs right now, but I think it's called The Secret Architecture of Washington or something like that. But yeah, and there's a lot of astrological symbolism embedded in Washington, D.C. And of course, even the Washington Monument, the most famous monument in our country, except for maybe the Statue of Liberty, is it's basically it pays homage to the sun god Ra from Egypt, and it represents a penis. I mean, that's yeah. I hate to that's just the way it is. And there's actually it's little known, but there is a small replica of the Washington Monument across from the Washington Monument in a manhole cover, and nobody seems to know why. It looks just like the real one, but it's down in a manhole cover about 100 feet away from it.
Covered completely by the street?
Covered by the street.
With a manhole cover on top of it. Okay.
Yes.
So there's another smaller version.
It's 100 feet tall, though?
No, it's about 100 feet away.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far down underground does it go?
Not far at all. The pictures I've seen, you pull up the manhole cover and it basically almost comes to the top of the cover. And nobody, I've looked and looked, I can't find an explanation for that. So it's really strange. I'm sure somebody knows, or somebody knew, but find that interesting.
That's crazy. How about, is a baseball diamond Masonic?
I have read that it is. Yeah, it's it was designed by a Freemason. The way that the whole, the field was designed by Freemasons.
The diamond shape, the arc of the outfield is
exactly. Yes, absolutely.
I remember, I think my mom's stepdad was a Mason, and I think he had a Bible. I think it's probably still at my parents' house. I should look for it at some point. I think he had a Bible with the compass and the square on it. And I remember seeing some flyers or something when I was little that said, if you want to be a Mason, ask a Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, you know, and I'm not a total anti-Mason by any means. Like I said, I think they've done some great things in our country and in the world. There's some very intelligent philosophers and authors that have been Masons, but even Albert Pike and another more recent philosopher who's also regarded very highly, Manly P. Hall, they both said that there's two layers to Freemasonry. There's the layer where you go in, it's a fraternity or brotherly fraternity, and you know, it's a place for camaraderie and whatnot. But then there's a second layer where you learn this esoteric information, you know, this knowledge about the world, about, you know, how you're created, whatever. And only a few get to that level. So, you know, they both describe how the lower level Masons are not even aware of this esoteric level. And I've also read too that it depends on the individual. You know, some individuals that join the fraternity are more apt to understand the allegories, because a lot of times the Freemasons have multiple meanings in their words, in their phrases, or even in their rituals. And only certain guys kind of are able to see those other meanings. And those guys are the ones that often move up in the ranks and become the adepts, is what they call it. If you go into the deeper meanings, you become illumined.
Yeah. So what's that? I was waiting to ask, what's the connection between the Illuminati?
Well,
that's a really good question, Deborah.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you become illuminated. There's another Freemason author, J.D. Buck. I wish I had the quote in my phone, but it's a good quote. But he basically says that there's one level that you become an illuminant. You become illuminated, and so therefore Freemasons should pay attention to the word Illuminati. That's basically, I'm paraphrasing what he said. So there's definitely a connection there, because you become illuminated. And the guy that started the Bavarian Illuminati, his name was Adam. Isaac is another guy.
Yeah.
Adam Weishaupt. And yeah, Isaac's great. But and Adam Weishaupt was from Germany, and he was actually Jewish. He became a Mason, and he actually was a professor in a Jesuit college. That's a lot of kind of differences there, Jesuits and Jews. But he was the one who started the Bavarian Illuminati. So he was a Freemason. He took a cue from the Freemasons, their levels, the way they did things with their rituals. And he built off of that and kind of made an offshoot of Freemasonry. So he took, you know, their symbology and mixed his own with it, and created the Bavarian Illuminati. And that's where the whole, you know, lore and the whole legend of the Illuminati comes from.
And when was he alive?
I think, oddly enough, he formed the Bavarian Illuminati officially in 1776, when our country, you know. And actually, if you go to the National Archives, you can see George Washington's letters between, I believe, Thomas Jefferson and a Reverend G.W. Snyder. And they were talking about the Illuminati. And I know the Reverend was worried, because he was afraid, because the Illuminati had basically were similar types who were kind of connected to the Illuminati, had been a part of the French Revolution. And the Reverend was afraid that they were infiltrating the Freemason lodges here in the United States, and they were going to try to form some type of takeover of the government. You know, we were still a very young country. And George Washington says in the papers, in the letters, that he's aware of them and he does not approve of them, but he doesn't think that they've infiltrated the lodges as a whole in the United States. So it's kind of an interesting kind of read and something interesting to do to look into that.
They totally could have succeeded, huh?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard it explained that way. That's wild. Did Adam Weishaupt ever make it to America?
No, I've never read anything about that. They say that the Bavarian Illuminati was shut down because they were so super secretive, but Adam Weishaupt became a little bit too, as we say here in the South, big for his britches. I mean, he was trying to be too authoritarian with the guys and too secretive. And he had one of the guys, his main guy was called Philo. I forget the guy's real name, but and Philo was basically the brains behind the Bavarian Illuminati for the most part. But Adam was in charge and he resented Philo and didn't want to kind of play ball. And people started resenting. Well, they started resenting him because he was becoming kind of this dictator like guy. And he ended up getting his brother's wife pregnant. And that was a huge deal then, of course. And
the old Hunter Biden trick.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they really started turning against him. And then, oddly enough, the legend is that a kid on a bicycle was taking some of the official documents from one guy to the other concerning the Bavarian Illuminati and was hit by a car. Or no, it wouldn't have been a car back then. It would have been, I guess, a stagecoach or something. Anyway, he was injured, killed, and they opened up the satchel and it had all these writings from the Bavarian Illuminati. And that's how they got busted. You know, they had to disband. And most people, you know, it's kind of a split. Some people think they really did. Others people think they just went dark and actually began to infiltrate the Freemason lodges after that.
Wow. That's crazy. Who's the most recent president who is confirmed member of a confirmed Freemason?
Well, the one, as far as I can tell, it would have been Gerald Ford. Now, Bill Clinton was a demolé, and a demolé is
like the high school version of it, right?
Exactly. Just like Walt Disney was demolé.
Did they have that at your high school, Deborah?
You know, that word is familiar to me, but it never penetrated my awareness. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, but I definitely know of de Molay.
Jacques de Molay was the head of the Knights Templar, and he was burned at the stake. He was captured on Friday the 13th, October 13th. I can't remember what year. And then he was held for 20 days or something and burned at the stake.
Was this when the Pope turned against the Knights Templar? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
I know you're an old punk rock guy, Odd Man. Are you familiar with the Oi band, the Templars from New York City?
I am not.
Oh, you should check them out. If you like Oi music, they're as good as an American Oi band's ever been. They've been around since 1993. They're my favorite American Oi band. You should check them out. They're really good, but they're called Templars, and then like all their artwork is like all their like cover art is like old medieval Templar stuff, and they get pretty far into it, you know. So
very cool. I definitely will, man.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
One thing I was gonna say was one of the most, you know, and like I say, I try not to be too anti-Masonic, but one of the big worries about it for everybody really is the fact that they take blood oaths to always take their brother's side. And you can think about, there's been dozens of, we know that there's been like 30 some odd Supreme Court justices who've been Freemasons, but you think about It's just kind of known in circles. If you know any police officers, there's a lot of police officers who are Freemasons, a lot of judges who are Freemasons. So, you know, that's very concerning when you think about they have to take their brother's, you know, side no matter what. And you have to think about down through history how that could have really caused some injustice and some underhanded deeds to be done. So I think that anyone who would, you know, who's anybody, you don't have to be anti-Masonic to realize that that could be a big problem in different scenarios.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like how much people will stick. Like, remember when John Kerry and George Bush were running for president against each other and they're both Bonesmen.
Right. Yeah.
And they've sworn a similar oath to that. I think it even came up in like one of the debates. Somebody asked, like, is there any issue of collusion with you two both being Skull and Bones? And they're like, oh no, it's not really that big of a deal. But they've sworn an oath and done all this weird, creepy stuff and know stuff about each other. Like, my dad was in a fraternity in college in the 60s, and he still won't say what he had to do to get in. I don't know if that's out of embarrassment or out of like actually like believing that he needs to keep it a secret, you know. I mean, probably had to screw a chicken or something, but you know, like yeah, so like that whole it actually works. So
yeah, and you know, it's I've mentioned this on some other podcasts, but the phrase college and fraternity goes back to the Freemasons and the mystery schools, which the Freemasons came out of, and they call those colleges and fraternities. So they're very similar. I mean, you know, your average fraternity probably doesn't go nearly as deep as the Freemasons as far as symbology and secret codes and oaths and stuff like that. But there's definitely a connection there.
Yeah. And they use all the Greek stuff and things like that. So it probably, yeah, you know, it's just it's a watered down version of it that probably came out of something like that.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was reading earlier today on a Masonic sign that I didn't realize, but, the co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak. Yeah. He was a Freemason. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Because if you look at, I don't know about Apple. I know they're very pretty interesting. Their very first ad for Apple was Adam. It looked like it was supposed to be Adam in the Garden of Eden. And he was covering himself up with an Apple computer. He had it in his hands. It was a big ass computer. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I know that like Facebook and Google have a lot of symbolism that really looks similar to some Freemasonry symbolism. So,
yeah. Apple did that 1984 ad too. Do you remember? Have you ever seen that?
Where the girl comes up and throws something at the screen.
I can't remember what it is, but you've seen the movie 1984, the movie version of it from the 80s. It's got that, and it has like Big Brother in it on the screen. It's like some sort of dystopian future, and then the computer comes in and saves it or something like that. I bet you it's on YouTube. I should go back and watch it, but yeah.
Oh, cool. I'll check that out for sure.
Yeah. So when we get into it, at what level do you believe personally that Freemasonry is influencing like the world as we know it right now?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but I tried to find it, and I've seen it in the past and even talked about it in past shows. There's quite a few world leaders from other countries that have been Freemasons, like Stalin was a Freemason, for instance. And the way I look at it, I think that there's a chance, and this is getting pretty conspiratorial, but this is what I've come to believe.
That's what we're here to do.
Very good. So they have all these different they call them call signs, but you know, hand signs or handshakes or greetings. And if you'll notice next time you're watching the news or whatever, you see two world leaders, say United States president and the Chinese president or PM or whatever they call them, or whoever, Justin Trudeau even, or whatever, they greet each other in a certain way a lot of times. And the Freemasons have something called the 5 points of fellowship.
Oh, yeah. What, yeah.
It represents the pentagram, basically the five star, the star with the 5 points. And that star has multiple meanings, but in the Freemasonry, they have the 5 points of fellowship, and it's basically like, I probably won't do this complete justice, but hand to hand, the other hand's on the back, on the shoulder, knee to knee, foot to foot, and cheek to cheek. And I'm going out of sequence. I can't remember the sequence. But if you'll notice, a lot of times these guys do that exact sequence of greetings or whatever you want
to
call it.
So they have to
contact.
They have to go in order too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bro hug, but they're you never look because you don't see them touching toes and knees.
Yeah, exactly. I know for sure I've seen Obama and Mitt Romney do that at one point. And it hit me. It was kind of like I was looking back at old videos and I saw them greet each other. And I just read that 5 points of fellowship. So I kept rewinding, going back and forth, back and forth. I was like, oh, my God, they're doing the exact sequence of events. Now, I don't know if those guys are Masons. I mean, it would seem like maybe they are. I don't know. But if you'll notice, a lot of these world leaders do that certain type of greeting.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I can't help but wonder if some of these world leaders, you know, always have to have a boogeyman country and be scared. America's always got to be scared of this foreign country. They're going to invade us. So we got to give up our rights and do this and do that. And we got to give these billions and billions of dollars to the military industrial complex or that boogeyman's going to come and get us. But what if these world leaders are actually pals? They've sworn oaths to each other because they are in this brotherhood. Because it's not just America. I mean, Freemasonry is all over the world. And they use each other's countries to scare the hell out of the citizens so they can make us pliable and make us do what they want us to do. And all along, they're brothers, you know?
Yeah.
I really have come to believe, I think that's going on a lot, you know? And I don't have any solid proof, but... I do believe that this brotherhood is all over the world. And like I said, they swear blood oaths to each other. They have these similar goals and beliefs. So, you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah. You mentioned that, you mentioned Stalin. Is there any sort of, financial, beliefs that they hold or economic beliefs?
Yes. I have read that, they are supposed to, by their oaths, if at any time they can do business with a fellow brother, if they can, instead of someone else who's not a part of the brotherhood. So that would also make sense. A lot of it is, especially in the higher, even in the lower degrees, actually, is organizing and networking.
Yeah.
You network with your fellow brothers, and it's a way of building yourself up, even at the local level. I mean, my friend, I told you, that my neighbor down the road, he even told me, I was there the night he joined the lodge. He asked me to come over and have a few beers with him. He had a fire outside, and I said, sure. And he showed me the literature that they'd given him, and it had the pillar and the two pillars and the triangle and all that. And it was just pretty much run of the mill on that paper. Like, I knew all that stuff. And I actually was like, I can tell you a lot more about it. He's like, no, let me just wait and find out. But I said, why did you decide to join? And he said, I just want to network locally and kind of build my way up in the business community. So I think that goes from the local level all the way up to the national or even global level.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like joining the Rotary Club or whatever like that at the lower levels. I know, Pat Miletich are you from Conspiracy Farm? Pat Miletich. Okay. He used to be UFC champion also. He leads his local lodge, and he's okay. I don't know what degree he is, but yeah, he's a Mason. I know Greg Carlwood has talked about wanting to join the Masons, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No women in the Masons, right?
So, no, but, they have the Order of the Eastern Star, which is female Freemasons. And in, Europe, they have co-masonry, which, is both sexes. And actually, several famous, I'd mentioned before, Alice Bailey, who was the head of the Theosophical Society, started Lucius Trust, Lucifer Publishing. She was, well, it's not confirmed if she was a co-Mason, but her predecessor, Annie Besant, was a co-Mason. And that's on file because they keep records. And actually, the Masons are very proud of their famous people, which you can't really blame them. And they keep records of this, and they're not afraid to let everyone know that. So Annie Besant was definitely a co-Mason, and so was the lady who started the New Age, Helena Blavatsky. And you can actually go online and see her papers where she completed co-Masonry in her levels. And it's rumored that Alice Bailey was, but her husband was definitely a Freemason, Frank Bailey, and he had written several books. I've got two of his books, and they're about Freemasonry. That's what they're about. So,
When I was in high school, many years ago, I went to a antique show and found a ring that I bought for myself, and it was a cameo, but it would flip over, and it was the Women of the Eastern Star insignia on the flip side, the reverse.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I have it somewhere.
Very, very interesting, Deborah.
Yeah. 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 I want to look into that. In fact, I almost bought a book the other day that's supposed to have all the secrets and the initiations and levels about the Eastern Star. I think that'd be a fun show to do because it's not talked about very much. And I've been asked on several shows about females, you know, in Freemasonry. And I think that I'm surprised that they, especially in today's day and age, that they don't allow females to come into the lodge. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me, but you know, there are other, basically they're based off of Freemasonry, female secret societies. I read one of our Supreme Court justices, Sotomayor, she was in a secret society, and I'm blanking on the name. I'd never heard of it before, but I read about it just a while back, and she supposedly gave up her role in it at when she was, you know, confirmed. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, you read about these other Supreme Court justices that were for sure Freemasons in the past. And that's scary when you think about it because of the blood oaths, you know?
Yeah.
How could you ever be fair and just?
Yeah, impartial and
yeah.
Conflict of interests.
Right, right.
Over and over and over again, right, Deborah? Just like the Cuomo brothers.
Wouldn't doubt if those guys are in some sort of secret society, fraternity.
American royalty, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So you live in the southern part of the United States, right?
Yes.
Where are you at?
Tennessee.
Okay. So I lived in Oakland, California for a long time. There's a lot of black guys there. They had like all black lodges there. Do they have that where you're at too? Or do they mix? Are races allowed to mix around in the lodge together? Or they keep it pretty separate?
No, they're allowed to mix here. There's a pretty large black community here. So, and you know, they do have the Prince Hall Freemason lodges in certain areas. I don't know if there's one here or not, but that's the all black lodges.
Okay.
So those are in certain areas like Detroit and in certain areas like that in big cities that have a large black population.
Yeah, I'd imagine they're in Oakland. There's like big groups of guys that like ride around on like Harley Davidson baggers with like out crazy paint jobs and stuff and like huge stereos. Yeah. And I remember there was this one guy I used to always see, and he had airbrushed all over his Harley all these different Masonic symbols and like his lodge number and stuff like that on it. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the Shriners are another one. So to be a Shriner, you have to be a 32nd degree Mason. You can't or at least that's the way it used to be. If it's it could have changed, but you used to have to be a 32nd degree Mason or 33, of course, to be a Shriner. And the Shriners are kind of known as the Playboy Club of the Freemasons. Like it's usually well-to-do guys. Have a lot of money and they partay a lot.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of tell-all books about the Shriners. I've never read them, but I've read excerpts and stuff like that. And of course they're the ones, they do have the Shriners Hospital, which does a great, you know, deal that they treat kids. My best friend's niece was injured by some fireworks one year, and they flew her for free to the hospital, treated her no cost whatsoever. So they do a lot of great things, but it's kind of one of those things where you have to wonder if they're not doing good things so they can do bad things. You know what I mean?
Right.
Justify some of the things that they do.
How long have the Shriners been around?
You know, that's a good question. So they were after the Masons for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the actual title is the Ancient Accepted Order. Oh, gosh, I'm blanking on it. Anyway, if you look at the moon and the sword that they have, that is the moon, of course, the crescent moon, it goes back to Islam.
Yeah.
And so that all comes out of the Middle East, which basically, if you want to think about it, the Freemasons come out of the Middle East too. But I think it's Ancient Accepted Order of the Mystic Shrine, if I'm not mistaken. I always get that wrong. But anyway, yeah, they have a very Islamic kind of bent to their deal. And you have to swear allegiance to Allah in the order of the Mystic Shrine in the Shriners. So, yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the license to drive the little car is 32nd degree masonry.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Got yeah. It. They used to have those circuses here all the time where that's how they raise some of their money. They don't have them here anymore. I don't know why.
Yeah. I just remember seeing those guys in parades and stuff, just driving those little cars around in circles and figure eights and stuff with the fezes on. Yeah. And the fez hat, that's from the Middle East as well. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they have a large temple, Shriner. It's called the Kerbela Temple here, and it overlooks the city. It's like high up on a hill looking down on the city. And I've driven up there a couple of times, but, you know, there's no windows. It's like a Freemason lodge. There's not really any windows where you can see inside. So it makes you wonder, because it's a large building. There's got to be things going on there, but it makes one wonder what they're doing.
Yeah, it's crazy how prevalent the lodges are, because I went to high school in like a little tiny town with like 5,000 people, and there was a lodge there. Like, it was up above, there's this main street with storefronts on it, and then like in one of the storefronts up above in the top floor there was a lodge. I remember like seeing my dad at a storefront, so it'd be in the alley all the time behind it, and there was like a back staircase up, and it was like these little old guys like hobbling up to get up to the second floor to go to the lodge.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen that? I think it's still on YouTube. It's actually in Tennessee, but it's not in my town. It's in Chattanooga. This guy catches this Shriner coming out of the lodge, and he asks him, "Hey, what were you doing?" And he comes out of the lodge. You guys know Ric Flair, the wrestler?
Yeah.
Ric Flair. Okay, so he comes out like the nature boy. Woo! He comes out like high as a kite, man. His eyes are like this big, and he's like, "The light of Lucifer will be upon you, brother." And he's like, "Did you just say the light of Lucifer?" He's like, "Yes, the light of Lucifer. Praise be his name." And he's like, "What? Can you say that again?" He's like, "Praise be his name, Lucifer." It's just wild, because and he talks to him a little bit, and this guy's like a super Christian guy that caught him coming out. I guess he knew the time they were coming out and anything. But anyway, it was really interesting, because this guy was like, he looked like some guy who was on cocaine. Obviously, probably wasn't. He was older, but he was high on Lucifer, Lucifer's spirit. So, and you know, it's funny, because most Masons say that that's not true, that the light, that Lucifer's not the light that they talk about all the time. But you hear little things here and there. Like, I was on, I think it was the Jerusalem Lodge. That's one of their most important lodges. And I was on their Instagram site.
Actual Jerusalem, Israel?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
And anyway, there was somebody had posted something on there about a guy. One of the guys was getting his 33rd, and it had a picture of him in his initiation or whatever. And somebody had posted "Praise Lucifer" on there. So I clicked on the guy's name, and turns out he's like a grand master of a Freemason lodge. And I was like, wow, he's just like putting it out there and he doesn't even care, you know, that even though a lot of guys try to say that's not true, but you know.
So as the world is today, all this stuff with the Great Reset, World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, everything like that. I liked your Klaus Schwab imitation as well.
It was good. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What role, and this is a pretty broad question, what role do you think, if any, Freemasons have on the state of the world and the all this crazy stuff that's happening right now has?
Well, it seems that they have in common a lot of these different belief systems, and the Freemasons are no different. They have this belief in this brotherhood of man that's coming, this coming brotherhood of man. You know, some people call it the Age of Aquarius. And there's a hippie vibe to it, you know, on one side, which is cool, the peace, love, and we're all going to be brothers and sisters. But then if you look at a lot of, like I tell people, look around Washington, you know, what you see there is all this pantheon of Greek and Greco-Roman gods all over the city. Go to New York, go to Rockefeller Center, you see Zeus with his scales kind of judging the world or whatever. Around the corner, you see Prometheus. You see Atlas holding up the world. It seems like that the Freemasons and the Skull and Bones and these different organizations believe in this brotherhood of man, but they also believe in this hierarchy. And I think that the hippie kind of version, the more Hinduish, Hindu kind of version, Buddhist version of this brotherhood of man, which has some great things in it, I don't think they realize, and this is just my opinion, I'm nobody really, that there's going to be a hierarchy. And the Freemasons and the New Age, this New Age push for this brotherhood of man is actually going to be controlled by these global elitists like Klaus Schwab and these very, very rich people. So they're using that brotherhood of man belief to kind of fool people into thinking that we need to give up our sovereignty. There needs to be no more states and, you know, giving up this, that, and the other to create this utopia when, in my opinion, there is going to be the utopia can maybe a dystopia. It may be a utopia.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a utopia for those global elite, but they're certainly going to control us and put us in place. We're not going to have the freedoms that we had at one time. You know, you can kind of see freedom slipping away right now, in my opinion.
Yeah. It kind of transfers into the new world order at that point, right? One world global government and one group of people and easier to rule. And it's all hidden behind this philosophy of benevolence, that it's good and that we're helping people and the economy, everyone will be equally poor. And like the environment and everything like that. And it's wild. What it seems like to me is just, like the really, I like to get super conspiratorial and think that, like, you know, everybody was a Mason and had this plan forever. But the blood oath and the responsibility to like their brothers seems like what would be pushing this and allowing it to happen.
Right. Yeah.
And it's all over. I mean, our dollar bill has all this symbolism on it and we don't know what it means. We just use it.
What does the all-seeing eye mean?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a good question. You know, some people just say it. I mean, it just means God is watching us all or whatever. You know, it could mean that there's a surveillance camera watching all of us, cameras, millions of cameras.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it the other day. You know, there's that biblical verse, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, a lot of people just say the love of money. A lot of people just say money is the root of all evil. No, it's the love of money. They put that symbol on our dollar bill with the pyramid in the eye. And the pyramid, I think, is supposed to represent man going up the steps to become his own God and then getting up there to the top. And that's when you reach illumination, which is where the eye is in the sun or whatever. But, you know, I don't believe for a minute that the global elite would allow us to climb up that pyramid and become like them. They're not going to let us be equal to them no matter what. And that's why they can't even let the middle class, as soon as the middle class starts to do pretty good, they have to destroy it. They have to destroy the middle class. There's no question, because the middle class starts to create competition for the big guys, and that can't happen. So they have to do something to destroy the middle class. And I think they just want us all. They want two classes, the very low class who they can control. They'll give us some money and some benefits as long as we act right. Yeah. But then they'll have their upper echelon who they are actually going to be at the top of the pyramid, and we'll be down at the bottom shining the steps at the very bottom.
So Deborah, who's usually like, what kind of families are usually middle class? What do they usually do for work? Do they have small family businesses?
No.
They don't. I'd say they do.
Okay. I don't know where you're going, so I'm...
Well, what's happening to small businesses right now?
They're getting destroyed. They're getting shut down.
Yeah. And what's growing and who's making record profits right now?
Oh, God. All the big guys that always do.
Yeah. Walmart, Amazon, Target, McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, man. I did a show, a couple shows a few months ago on the Tavistock Institute. And that's a really interesting subject. And they even talked in there. It's really where Tavistock, the MK Ultra
Tavistock.
And all that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Tavistock. It's where the MK Ultra programs kind of originated from. And there's one of the scientists on there. Or psychiatrists, psychologists, whatever. And he actually is talking about, and this was in the 60s, how in the future we would have these private-public partnerships, basically, which are happening right now. In fact, Event 201 was, the whole scenario where they kind of went over this pandemic.
About that one, right, Deborah?
Yeah.
And so they said in there, that there would be these private public partnerships that would come up to kind of take care of everything, because a lot of people would lose their jobs. A lot of people would be hurting and stuff like that during a pandemic. And he was talking about that way back then, that's what they had planned on implementing in the future to kind of take the place of the middle class, because, a lot of times with the middle class, you're going to lose a lot of businesses, and there's going to be a lot of good factory jobs that had good benefits gone. And we've seen all that now. And so they thought that would kind of move in to kind of take the place and help people.
How long ago was he talking about that?
It was in the 60s. It was in the late 60s. Yeah. Yeah.
So they were talking about UBI and the collusion between the corporate America and the government. Man, it's scary stuff.
Yeah, I think it was the late 60s. The Cloward-Piven strategy, came up. And that was these two professors. They were actually married. It was a man and a woman. They came up with the strategy to they said that if you overwhelm the economic and welfare state of the United States, they would have to go into the socialized type of system. And so, it seems like that's what's happened to me, that we've been forced to kind of, with everything having to shut down, we're going towards that UBI. So,
yeah. UBI, get everybody into the city, into smart grids and little one bedroom condos, or I think it's coming. I don't know how it is where you are. I mean, you guys seem like you probably have a little more property and land where you're at, maybe, and you're a little more spread out, but maybe not. Where I'm at in Portland, Oregon, like everything is just old houses, every neighborhood's just getting torn down. I install elevators for a living. All I do is I go to three-story condo buildings and put in three-stop elevators for a living. That's what I do, you know.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's a storefront on the bottom and then two levels of tiny little apartments, you know.
No more smart cities.
Yeah, no more single family homes.
Efficiency.
Yeah. So they're tearing down all these houses and putting up one and two bedroom apartments. It's like where are families supposed to go? And then they'll say, "Oh, well, maybe you don't get to have a family. You don't make enough money."
Right. Yeah, that leads right to a sustainable development and smart cities and
sustainable word, which kind of goes along with them trying to like say that they're doing it for good, and that's the trick.
Yeah, they want people to live close to the store so they won't have to take vehicles to burn emissions and stuff like that, which sounds great and everything, but then you think about the freedoms that, you know, but they just don't care about personal freedom whatsoever. I know they're also trying to, in certain states, get it to where they can charge you a tax by the mileage that you drive. And of course, to do that, they would have to track every mile everywhere you go to know how many miles you went. So,
yeah,
and there's no end.
It's all enforced. All this stuff that they're saying is sustainable and beneficial to everyone is all, it's all run and enforced by the government. So
yeah,
it's
total
surveillance state. Nothing that you have will be private.
No. And that also goes right back to the government being in bed with all these huge corporations. It's like this, I always tell people private public partnership is just a fancy word for fascism. I mean, that's where we're headed. It's not going to be pure fascism. It's going to be a mix between fascism and communism, I think. But you know, it's where it's headed for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like Amazon would want what's happening to be happening right now, you know? So.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed, I told people eventually when Amazon's the only game in town, they can start charging a lot more, or if it's just Amazon and Walmart and Target, they're the only three, they can charge a lot more for their products. And I'm already seeing, like, as far as books go, you know, I'll have a wish list of books in my Amazon. Dozens of books have disappeared.
Yeah.
So, and it's getting to where,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and it's getting to where if you can't find a book on Amazon, you can't hardly find it anywhere. And if you do find it, you're going to pay like $50 for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I look on eBay sometimes too, but I know that there's books that you can find at Amazon that are altered as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the Behold a Pale Horse you can get off Amazon's like 200 pages short of the other one. They take out the protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Ah, interesting. Well, I have to say, there's been most of the, well, at least half the books I've seen that have disappeared off Amazon that I had my wish list were about similar things that you just mentioned. So it makes one wonder what's going on here.
I love books, man. I love old conspiracy books, and I'll, you know, even if it's stuff I'm probably never going to read, like I found all these like crazy old crinkly yellow page paperbacks, like Faces of the Illuminati. And you just go down these holes. You can find these books for like $3. I buy them all, man. So I just got, I found, there's this really good Instagram account called Paranoid American. You should check it out. It's this guy, and he has he's like a comic book writer and artist, but he does everything about everything he does is conspiracy comic books. He does like MK Ultra and stuff like that. But he'll post, he's coming on our show too to do MK Ultra with us.
Awesome.
He like on his page, he'll post stuff from the comics and stuff like that. But then he just posts like books, old conspiracy books. And I check them out and I pick them up. I just got this one called The Plot. It's a graphic novel about the conspiracy to write the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm really, and it's I forget who the author is, but the cover's like all drawn like Disney, like Mickey Mouse arms, and like the guy's signature is like the Walt Disney, and it's pretty cool. So
I love it, man. Yeah, I'll definitely follow him for sure.
Yeah, Paranoid American. Check him out, guys. And he's going to come on the show. So, Deborah, he just sent us both sample packets of stuff. So it should be coming in the mail.
Oh, so we got cool. some
homework Good. To do before he comes on.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, what do you think, man? I think this was that's a good jumping off point. And I think we'd really like to have you back on to talk about the New World Order.
Oh, I'd love to, man. I can't get enough of that.
Yeah. And they kind of they relate to each other, right?
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. So cool, man. Are you all right with stopping it there?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so
much. Really interesting. For doing this really interesting.
Thank you. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, it was good to meet Same. You too. You want to tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, sure. If you want to talk to me or see my posts and stuff like that, just hit me up at _theoddmanout on either Twitter or Instagram. And if you want to get the show, you can go to my bio in the Instagram for the link, or you can go on alternatecurrentradio.com and find my show on there.
Perfect. Any parting words, Deborah?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you.
All right. We're going to throw this one. It's Sunday right now. We're going to put this one out on Wednesday, I think. So, yeah, get at us, guys. And thanks for listening. We love you all. Peace. We're out.
Peace. Yeah.
Thanks, Oddman. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.